Wasn't that good? Thank you, Lord. Praise be to God. Well, open your Bibles up if you have them there to Philippians chapter 3. Whew, I've done praise myself happy. Man, that was so good. Thank you guys so much. Today we're going to talk about keeping on track, staying on track, staying on course. Some of you seniors in here probably have experienced life enough to know that there are different circumstances and events that can definitely get you off course. Have you ever felt like you was something's trying to always, you know, you're driving down the road, the interstate, and it's like there's an exit here and an exit there and an exit here, and Satan's down at the end of the ramp saying, come this way, come this way. You ever felt that way? Well, we want to stay on course. Everybody say, stay on course. We want to stay on the path. And you know, here's the thing that I've discovered with the Lord. You can be going along, walking with the Lord, and if you're not careful, you can get off just a little bit in something, you know. Get off just a little bit, and before you know it, you'll be off a long way. And I don't want to get off. I want to stay on course. Amen. Stay on track. Stay on the vision. Just keep walking the path. Just keep walking the path. And you know, if you hear and you recognize, man, I've gotten off course. Well, listen, God's not mad at you. He's not condemning you. He's wanting you to get back on course, though. You know, you can get off course emotionally. Did you know that? You can get so strung out emotionally about everything that's going on, it'll pull you right off course. God wants us to stay on course because the scripture says in Proverbs 4:18, it says, the path of the just gets brighter and brighter and brighter. Hallelujah. We need to see, ask ourselves a question. Are we on the path? Are we on the path that God wants us to be? Because that path just keeps getting brighter and brighter and brighter. You know, if y'all remember during the first war in the Gulf, this was in, some of y'all might be too young to remember that, but in 1991, before the current war that we have with Iraq, there was the Gulf War where Iraq had invaded Kuwait. Y'all remember that? And y'all remember they kept firing those Scud missiles right to Israel. And isn't that funny? Now, the war was break between Iraq and Kuwait, but Iraq fires Scud missiles at Israel. And that's something to think about anyway. But you know those Scud missiles, they were off target. That you remember, I think there was one of them, maybe one or two of them that hit that did, you know, quite a bit of damage. But they, compared to what they fired versus what hit, they never could hit their target. They never could stay on track to hit their target. And you know, you take when we have a dream for our life, we don't want to be that just we're just shooting somewhere, just shooting out. We want to have that definite target and goal and aim for our lives. And, you know, I felt like when I was preparing this service that the Lord wanted me to deal with maybe folk that had gotten off track, that had gotten out of path, and get, how do you get back on the track? How do you get back into the pathway of God? How do you get back into walking with the Lord? And you know, we're probably going to stay on this for 2 or 3 weeks here, but we want to learn how to keep our dreams alive. How do you stay on target? How do you stay on path? And let's look here in Philippians 3 just a minute. Philippians chapter 3. Did you find that? We'll pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word today. We thank you that we are blessed. We thank you, Father, that we can walk in your paths. We thank you, Lord, that you show us your paths, that you're not a hard taskmaster. You're not trying to make the way hard for us, Lord. We thank you that you're a good master. And, Lord, we look to you and thank you for wisdom, revelation. Everybody, if you would now, just stand up right there in your seat where you are. Just stand up and let's exercise our faith, everybody together. And say this out loud after me. Say, Father, I desire revelation. Give me wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. I decree, I'll see something here today. I'll hear something here today that'll change my life. I agree with my pastor. I agree right now that I receive from the flow of the Spirit of God. I exercise my faith that when I leave here today, my life will be changed for the better. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You can be seated. Now, look here with me, if you would, in Philippians chapter 3. Let's look here what he says here. This is the Apostle Paul writing. He says, let's start in verse 13. He says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before." Notice here he says, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Now I want to read that to you again. He said, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Now, we've heard this a lot of ways, a lot of times even misinterpreted to say, well, you know, brother, you just have to press in. You just have to press in. Press in to the Lord. No, we're not pressing in to the Lord. If you have been born again and received Jesus, you're already in Him. Can you say amen? Amen. So you're already in Him. And that philosophy of thinking we've just got to press in to the Lord, we've just got to keep pressing in to the Lord, really is denying, it's denying what God has already done on the inside of you by having you in Christ Jesus. Now, is Jeremy in here? Little Jeremy? Jeremy? Rachel's Jeremy? Where's your Jeremy, Rachel? Rachel's back there. Is Rachel back there in the sound booth? Where's Jeremy? Oh, okay. They run out of church. See, what if I had $1,000 check I'd want to give him? He'd done missed out on it, wouldn't he? Well, Chris, come on up here just a minute. Chris, you come up here now. I know. Somebody help me out here. I need somebody that's short. That's what I was looking for. Asher, you come up here and help me, buddy. There's Asher now. We did this last week, but I want to show you this again. See, I was going to use... See, now, look at this now. See, the whole pressing... We've got to press into God. Concept is not of God. If you're born again. If you're not born again, you need to get born again so that you're in Jesus. Can you say amen? See, that concept... Well, we're just pressing in. It's like God is like trying to bust into something. No. It's like... We see, that mentality is like it's God is holding us back. But He's not. Are you with me now? We're just pressing in. No, we're not pressing in. We're pressing on. There's a big difference. You understand what I'm saying? There's a huge difference between thinking you've got to press in and pressing on. Big difference. You're pressing on because you've got the strength, because you're already in to press on. Now, see, look at this. Now, let's just say I'm walking along here and I feel like that, you know, Chris, I said this last week, like Chris, he's taller than me. He's holy. I mean, he's got it all together. He never sins. He's following God. He goes to church every service, prays every day, reads his Bible every day. He never says a bad word about anybody. He's just got it all together. Now, this is Chris. This is his measure of holiness. Are you with me? Now, I, on the other hand, am just a little bit less than that. I maybe miss church a couple of times a month, don't quite read my Bible every day, maybe say something about somebody I shouldn't, don't give an offering, don't do whatever. But then Asher, you don't mind me using you, do you, Asher? Asher is worse than all of us. Now, the whole concept of pressing in. Now, when I tell you, Asher, we're going to jump, me and you are going to jump up and down. Are you with me? Like we're on a pogo stick, we're going to jump, all right? Now, our concept has been, if we could press in enough, we could get to be where He is, because He's got it all together, okay? So, here is me and Asher. Are you ready, Asher? Let's go. Come on. Here's me and Asher. We're trying to reach Chris. We're trying our best. Like, here, one day I'm up with Chris, one day I'm above him, and we're just trying so hard. Like, we're praying, we're just trying, and we're trying, and but you know what? All of a sudden... We just wear out. Our strength wears out. We can't do it. And the reason we can't is because, see, religion has convinced us that we're not what Chris is. Are y'all with me? Thank you, Lord. Catch my breath.
Some water.
See, that's what religion has told us. We've got to press in. Or we're not going to be where Chris is. No. Listen, It doesn't matter. We are hidden in Christ. See, Paul said if in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ. Everybody say in Christ.
In Christ.
If any man be in Christ. Now see, listen. We're not pressing into Christ. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. See, whether Chris's measure of holiness is he's really doing everything right and mine's a little bit less. And come over here, Asher. And Asher's just a little bit less than mine. See, that's not the measure of holiness. It can't be. Why? Why can't it be? Because if we measure holiness that way, then Chris is doing what he's doing, and we're measuring that by his standard of doing it. But you know what? Let me ask you this question. If Chris read his Bible every day, prayed every day, went to church every time the door was open, never said a bad word about anybody, never did anything wrong, I mean, he was just as perfect as he could be, what is that in comparison to God? See, how high is Chris going to jump? Y'all see what I'm saying here? See, we've got to quit trying. We're not trying to press in. If we're in Christ, we're already there. We're not trying to press in. If we're in Christ, we're already there. Now, not saying we don't need to renew our minds. Not saying we don't need to pray, read our Bible, go to church, be involved in church. I'm not saying that. But we have to understand the drawing of God in our lives is not based on the performance that we can give Him. Are you with me? Because, see, poor little Asher here. I mean, if Asher stays this height the rest of his life and he can't jump as high as Chris or he can't step up on something to get that high, what about poor Asher? It's like, poor Asher. Can you see what I'm saying? But let me tell you something. God thought about Asher. He thought about the Ashers. He thought about the people that, he thought about those that have that sense that they can never measure up. They can never be that tall. He thought about us. And He designed it so that we are hidden in Christ. Are you with me? So Paul is not saying here to press in. He's saying, I press toward, I'm pressing on toward the mark, the prize of the high calling. Can you see that? I want to make sure you understand what I'm saying because I don't want us to live our lives thinking we never measure up. I can never be like another person. I can never do what they do. Let me tell you something. You may never do what another person does. You were born an original, don't die a copy. Amen. Can you see that? Thank you, Asher. Thank you, Chris. All right. And so we want to recognize he's not talking about pressing in. I want to make sure we're clear of that. Now, when he said something here, look at what he said in verse 13. He said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark. Now, if you have been living life very long, there's no doubt somebody has hurt you. There's no doubt somebody's done something wrong. You know, there's no doubt about that. You live life long enough, somebody's going to do something that your expectation is not going to be met. Would you agree to that? Now, we've heard it said, okay, well, you just forget the past and go on. Well, let me tell you something. You can't forget the past. You can't forget the past if you're eat up with pain and hurt and bitterness on the inside. Now, what we've done in a religious sense, we've said, okay, I know it is the right thing to do to forgive someone. I know that it's the right thing to do to forget and to go on. But see, just because we mentally assent to the fact that it is the right thing to do, it doesn't necessarily mean that we're doing that from a heart level. See, we tell everybody, well, just forget the past and go on. Let me tell you something. If there's some steps, if you don't deal with them in your heart, you're not going to be able to forget the past. The past will go with you for 50 years. See, there's some issues of the heart here. See, we've been taught because we're Christians, we should forgive. And that's absolutely the truth. But we need to learn how to release things from a heart level. And I'm going to show you, real quickly, I'm going to show you four things now. If we've gotten off track, we usually get off track, you know, in the emotional realm. That's one area where we can really get off track. We've got to understand something now. God's will, His will is sovereign. There are some things about His will that will never change. He wills that every man be saved and no man perish. His will, there's a sovereignty about the principled will of God that will never change. Can y'all say amen to that? There's things about your individual life, though, that may be different in that will than someone else's. Can you see that? God's got different plans and paths that we're walking down. But all of us need to stay on the path and the track that God put us on. Now, what happens is we're walking along this path, and all of a sudden life will throw us a curve. Maybe, you know, we're walking along this path, and our parents get divorced. You know, maybe we're walking along this path and we get fired from a job. Maybe we're walking along this path and someone dies unexpectedly. Maybe we're walking along this path and we lose income. You know, maybe we're walking along this path and there, you all know just as well as I do, we can experience life and a lot of different things can come our way. Maybe somebody let us down. Maybe an expectation that we had as a child maybe was never met. There's a thousand different ways that life can throw a curve at you and let you down. The biggest mistake we can do is to think that it was God that did it. That's the biggest. Why? Why is it? If we think that it's God that did it, who would we go to for help? You see what I'm saying? The biggest mistake we can make. Now, if life throws us a curve and knocks us off the track of our dream, knocks us off the track of our life, let me tell you something. The first thing we're going to have to do, instead of forgetting the past, if something like that happened to you, the first thing I'm going to tell you is not to forget the past. That's not the first thing you do. The first thing you want to do is to change your way of thinking. You want to begin to look through the eternal telescope. And realize that everything that happens in this life is temporary. You want to change your way of thinking. You know, you want to look at life from a different perspective. Begin to see the eternal. Because listen to me, if you stay focused and trapped and stuck in whatever that thing was that stopped your dream, that kept you from walking out your dream, listen to me, if you stay emotionally trapped, emotionally stuck in that pain, whatever that grief, maybe it's stuck in greed or stuck in covetousness. There's a lot of things where you could be stuck. If you stay stuck in that and say, okay, well, the word says I'm supposed to forgive, so I'm going to forgive and forget. But really, in your heart, you've never changed your way of thinking. You've never looked at it from a different perspective. You never ask yourself the questions that you need to ask yourself. So number one is changing your thinking. I'm talking about how to get back on track when life throws a curve at you. Everybody say, change my thinking. Now the next one is a big one. If you're walking down if you're going down life's road, and something happens that throws you a curve, and this is such a hard one for most people. It's really hard for most people because Most people really don't understand righteousness by faith. Really, I'm being honest with you. A lot of people base their entire relationship with God on their performance, their conduct. They miss the whole concept of righteousness by faith. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, He made Him, speaking of God, made Jesus to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. See, the day that you got born again, the day that you received Jesus into your heart, was the day that you were made the righteousness of God. If you live to be 150 years old and you die at 150, the day that you die, you're not going to be any more righteous than you were the day that you got born again. Because it's a gift. It's something that's given to you. Can you see that? Now, where most people have a real problem with this next step is, and I'm just going to call it taking ownership. You have to change your way of thinking. You have to take ownership. You say, well, now wait just a minute, Pastor Ron. They did something to me. I'm not trying to minimize what people will do to you. But if you live your life never taking ownership for where you were and what happened and how you dealt with that and what was going on inside of you, you'll never grow up. You'll never grow up. You'll harden your heart and you'll say, I'll forgive them. But inside, you're still as bitter as a canker on the inside of you. Amen. Everybody say, take ownership. I'm not saying taking ownership to say it was your fault. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying taking ownership for where you were, what happened on the inside of you, how you dealt with that, what your response was to it. That's what I'm talking about, taking ownership for where you were. And in some cases, you know, we do create the problems that we have. Thank you for that thunderous applause and hallelujahs and amen. I found that a lot of the problems in my life, I've created them. You know, people, let me tell you something. People are afraid to admit that because they don't know they're the righteousness of God. Oh, yeah, Jesus is my righteousness. Well, if Jesus is our righteousness, then we can recognize and take ownership for where failures have happened and things have gone wrong and issues have happened in our lives. You know, you're going down life's road and life throws you a curve. Well, you know what? It may be that you were not moving fast enough, moving too slow. There's so many factors involved in that. But if we're not willing to examine our own hearts to prove whether or not we're in the faith or not, I think that's the way 1 Corinthians says to do it. Prove your heart whether you are in the faith at that point or not. Is this making any sense to anybody? And then the next thing you want to do after you've changed your way of thinking, after you've taken ownership, is to renew your mind. Renew your mind, okay? What was within me, if I did create this problem, what was within me that created this problem? I'm the righteousness of God. I'm righteous enough to look at it, to be honest. Then you begin to change your way of thinking and renewing your mind to the way the Word is, you at that point are saying, okay, these things were within me that created this, or these things were within me that the way I responded to this, these things were in me. So now I want to renew my mind to think the way God thinks about this. I want to change my thinking, my paradigm, my perspective on life. Why? So that I don't set myself up for this same thing again. So that I don't marry the same guy that's going to hurt me again. So that I don't do the same thing that I did that maybe created this problem. So that maybe if I'm going down life's road and life throws me a curve and it totally consumes my life and takes away my life, maybe at that point, if I ever go through that again, I won't let that grief destroy me. Are you with me? I can renew my mind to see things from God's perspective. I'm not making judgments. I'm not judging out of my own mind and thought processes. I'm judging it the way God judges it. Now, I want to make a statement here to you. And I think, let's look at the scripture on this. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Let's look at this. I tell you, if there's anything that was hard to do in the Word, this is the hardest thing you'll ever do in the Word. But if you can learn to do this with Jesus, you can learn to do this with people too. The one reason that people don't do this with men is because they haven't done it with Jesus yet. Are y'all with me? Jesus was crucified. And I mean, it was a brutal crucifixion. But let me tell y'all something. If that is the only focus of your life about his death, burial, and resurrection, it's pretty shallow. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, it was pitiful. I mean, if you ever saw the Passion of the Christ, that was probably just a small amount of what he really went through. But let me tell you something. That was horrible. I can't tell you how horrible it was, but there was nothing any more horrible than the spiritual death that he experienced when he separated from God. When he died, he was spiritually dead. And he had to be born again. I think it's Colossians, it says he was the firstborn from the dead. And if he was the firstborn, our number is in there somewhere. You know, there was a secondborn, thirdborn, firstborn from the dead, meaning that if we don't, see, we have to, listen to me now, we have to learn to make judgments according to the Word of God, not according to what our eyes see. Because if we live our lives making judgments according to the external, now listen to me, it will do nothing but take us off the path of God. People make judgments about from an emotional perspective. They make judgments based on demonic influence. They do. People make judgments and decisions based on a lot of other things other than the way, the truth of God's Word. Let me show you this now. Look here what it says. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that ye may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constrains us, or constraineth us, because we thus judge. Now everybody say, this is the judgment I need to have. That if one died for all, then we're all dead. Okay? Now notice, and that he died for all, and that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. This is the verse I want to get to, verse 16. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. See, we have to judge the Lord. We can't judge the Lord after the flesh. Why? Because you can only take that so far. You can only take the flesh so far. But if we judge him from the eternal, if we judge him from the fact that not only did he hang on the cross and went through that horrible pain and shed his blood on that cross. Everybody say, thank God for Calvary. See, we're thankful for Calvary. We're thankful for the cross. Thank you, Jesus, for the cross. But let's go deeper into what happened the 3 days and three nights that he was dead. What took place during that 3 days and three nights? Once we step over and begin to look at that 3 days and three nights that he was in the grave, we will begin to not judge him after the flesh anymore. You begin to make discernments about him in regard to the spirit life. Because for 3 days and three nights, Jesus was in hell. Jesus went to hell to pay the price for us. And in Revelations, it says that he came up from hell when he was raised from the dead with the keys of death, hell, and the grave. Now see, that's where we want to get to making our judgment about him. But now listen to me. If we will learn to make our judgments about him after the spirit and not after the flesh, then we will begin to learn not to make our judgments about men and women after the flesh, but after the spirit. And it will begin to alleviate the pain in our life because we are not judging them and making it personal about us. Well, they did all that just because of me. No, I'm sorry. I hate to be the one to inform you of this, but you are not quite that important. And me neither. People aren't usually doing what they do because of me or you. They're doing what they're doing because of them. Because of what's going on in them. But boy, we sure like to make it personal, don't we? One of the signs, and I talked about this Wednesday night in church, one of the signs of maturity is when you stop making everything personal about you. When you stop making it personal and you realize people are doing things because of their decisions and their hearts. And now listen, not saying it won't affect you because that's what creates a lot of pain in our lives. But what I'm saying is we need to get to the place in our lives that we aren't judging them after the flesh, but we're judging them after the spirit. When we begin to renew our mind, now listen to me, I'm talking about changing your way of thinking, taking ownership, renewing your mind. When we can renew our mind to not judge him after the flesh, listen, then we can forget the past. But don't try to forget the past with all that bottled up on the inside of you, because it makes you a hypocrite. You become a false Christian. People can spot it a mile off where there's no reality. There's pain in there, and we can get to the place where we're using God to cover it up. Trying to use God to cover it up rather than to use God to pull it out. Are y'all with me? In Isaiah 43:18, we'll close with this. It says, "Remember you not the former things." I love this. "Neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth, shall you not know it? Or how it shall spring forth, you shall not know it. I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." God, let me tell you something. I'm going to tell you something about the heart of God here, folks. God is always wanting you and I to get over the past pain. But he's wanting us to do it his way so that we can get back on the track. Come on now. Get back on the track and recognize it's him that's doing this new thing. You know, you've heard this saying, I'm sure, before, that when one door closes, God is just opening up another. But listen, if we get so emotionally attached and idolized to the door that he's closing, we can never make a judgment after the Spirit. We're always judging after the flesh, and we're never being able to see what God is doing in our lives. I hope you can get this, because folks, this will save us a lot of pain personally, every other area of our lives, of getting off the track. Let me tell you something. Your dream is so important to God. The thing that God has placed within you to do is so important to him. Let's let him do these processes in our lives. Let's let him change our thinking. Let's let him take us to a place in our righteousness that we can take ownership. Let me tell you something. When you know you're the righteousness of God, you don't have a bit of shame about your past. You're not hiding nothing. You're not covering nothing. You're not ashamed. You know there's no guilt there. And you can begin to really look and take ownership of your life. And that will open up your heart, listen, so that you can receive the Word of God and renew your mind so that what caused those issues before will not crop up again and again and again and again. And then you can say, God, I really have forgotten the past. It's behind me. I'm moving on. Behold, listen to this. "Remember ye not the former things." Are y'all listening? "Neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." You can get back on track with your dream. You can get back. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how young you are. You can get back on track with your dream because God's doing a new thing. If we can press on, listen to me now. If we can press on instead of keep thinking we've got to press in. No. If you're in him, you're already in. You're as in as you're going to get in. Because you don't want to live your life doing this. Trying to measure up, right? You want to live your life pressing on, going towards your dream, walking with God, letting him fulfill it. Can you say amen to that? If you would you bow your heads, please, and close your eyes?